Welcome to Notcast, episode 292, National Canine Semen Bank.
Thank you, Fuzz.
Why do we let you name episodes again? Because, you know.
Because he thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was. I was caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
We won't discuss that any further. One of my favorite terrible ones that I still remember was our safe sex episode. It was called How to Not Come Blood.
That was a good one.
It's a truly awful episode title, and I love it. Yeah. So, I'm Fuzz Wolf.
I'm Saverin.
And I'm not involved. Shiva.
So, I'll... So I just explained it to Shiva. Yes, allow me to briefly explain this week's episode title. So I was just out to dinner with Saverin and our friend Tesser, and he pulls out his phone and he shows me this exchange on Tumblr. It's a photograph of a pen, and he said, read the text first and then scroll up and look at the pen. And the text was paraphrasing here, but basically the guy was like, my girlfriend's a veterinarian, and this leads to some interesting situations. I loaned a pen to a student in my class, and when he was done using it and handed it back to me, he gave me the oddest look. And then you scroll up and you see the photo of the pen that he got from his veterinarian girlfriend. It says National Canine Semen Bank, and it has the address and phone number of the company on it.
Yep.
So, perfectly legitimate business, just not really something you expect to see on a pen you're loaned.
Well, maybe if you're at like a vet's office,
or, yeah, but not or in, some like, a, veterinarian convention.
Not by your teacher.
Well, the thing is like you get pens all the goddamn time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but most of mine are for the various hotels that furry cons have been in, mm-hmm. and the occasional bank. I think I had like a Capital One pen I was using the other day, or something like that.
I have probably 36 or more pins from various pin distributors, like the companies that put your name on pins.
As soon as you file an LLC or an incorporation or anything like that, you will start getting a handful of free pins. Oh, Fur Planet Productions, address, phone number. To order 9 million more pins like this, it'll cost you $19.95 or whatever.
And you're like, or I'll just keep these ones. Thanks.
You're like, hey, these work pretty well.
Yeah, pins. Pin Island.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
Those great URLs.
Mm-hmm. That got us onto a discussion about URLs and ferret hand jobs.
Or really bad font choices.
Yes.
It's like Pepsi cross AAPE.
Oh, okay. That reminds me. That was the other thing. Oh, go ahead and finish
and
that.
And the font basically says it looks like Pepsi cross rape.
So here, Shiva, is the 100 Days Till Mockingjay image that was pulled. Do you see the problem?
This is fantastic for a visual medium like a podcast.
I'm looking.
It should pop right out at you. Don't have to look too closely.
No.
Okay.
All right, let me see it.
I'm going to see if Saverin sees it.
I'm afraid that I'm kind of... Okay, maybe the Y and the A looks like a nipple? Like side boob?
C-U-N-T.
Oh.
Where?
The 100 is cunt right there. C-U-N-T.
Now that I see it, I can
kind of... Let me see it again.
It cuts out the zero.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, one of the zeros in 100 is partially cut into with words.
It looks like cunt.
So it looks like a C, and it's 100 days until Mockingjay, so the UNT is in there. It looks like it says cunt. I didn't see this before the controversy was announced. So when I saw it, it was already pointed out to me.
Everything's a fucking controversy.
But, controversy, outrage, whatever.
Well, I'm mocking the idea that, the bad choice of font. Oh, God, they're saying the Katniss is a cunt. Well, she might be. She killed a bunch of dudes. Just saying.
You know, from the perspective of the president and everyone in the administration, she is a cunt.
Yeah. Think about it from the bad guy's perspective.
That's
they're
right.
Not the bad guys in their perspective.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm sure there's lots of fanfic out there where you can read all about her. Anyway.
Yeah. So,
so speaking of which, I do want to see Mockingjay when it comes out.
I haven't seen any of the films. So I'm kind really? Of like, eh, whatever.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how I caught the first one. I happened to see it, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And I've heard the books are really good, too. So have you seen them, Shiva, the Hunger Games movies?
I saw the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet. I read the first book. I haven't read any of the rest.
I haven't read any of the books, but I've been enjoying the movies. I bought them on Apple not long ago, so I've got a few of them in digital versions there. They were having a sale.
Yeah.
Sort of like that Mission Impossible sale I mentioned a couple weeks back. Mm-hmm.
So it's been another relatively interesting week in the world of infidelity.
Infidels!
Yes, those damn infidels. So the Ashley Madison thing continues to get worse. Apparently you have a couple people both in the U.S. and in Canada killing themselves over this. Not to mention all the people that are going out of their way to continue to basically dox people.
Ugh.
You've got, you know, the duggering. Some porn star was like, oh yeah, I totally banged the shit, or was fucked by Josh Duggar while his wife was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. And
family values, everybody.
Yep,
family values.
Yes, indeed.
So there was also an article that was just posted before the episode recording that was a conversation about one of the actual women on Ashley Madison. Because they've done a data analysis and basically 95% of the people on there were dudes.
It was something like 18 million men and 5,000 women.
I saw 12,000 women. Like legit accounts.
A minuscule amount.
A percentage is very, very low of legit women.
Yeah.
I saw an interesting article on them where basically a reporter that was looking to, a female reporter was looking to do a thing on the site, so she created a couple accounts. I think it's a she at least.
Mm-hmm.
One dude, one bi chick, one straight chick. Dude got on all the way through. Didn't really have much. She didn't say any issues with the bi one, but her straight account was pretty much immediately blanked out, and like her profile wasn't good enough or something like that. So she said that actually to make an account on there, well, one, the website is incredibly unfriendly as a woman, and two, when just the whole like profile approval process was like
needs more tits.
Yeah, it's like you think that they just streamline women and
Would think so, given the really limited number of people putting a profile up there.
Yeah, and I read up some of the models. It's like they nickeled and dimed the dudes on there to death, and they would send the female bot accounts would send the dudes messages like, such and such is looking for a dude just like you.
Your area.
And if you reply back...
Grannies are looking for sex within 5 miles!
Wait.
To reply back, you had to buy credits.
Yep. This is exactly what Furry Mate has allegedly been doing. That it is allegedly a scam site. That is allegedly preying on alleged furries.
Much like Brony Mate is allegedly sending messages to an alleged account named Fedora Shy.
I wonder if they're allegedly the same company.
Allegedly they are.
And we're covering our alleged asses, just in case.
Nah, fuck them.
So, it was a pretty awful website. And it was basically, it was a really interesting article about, you know, did they actually are they just bad at marketing? Or did they just really set this up to honeypot, you know, straight dudes, and there's no one there. There's no female there. For any females trying to sign up, it was, like, annoying and unlikely. And then, so did the creator just make an awful website, or did from the get-go was it meant to be just basically a scam?
Pretty much all dating sites are intentionally made to take advantage of desperate men.
The one article that I'd read earlier was the one that Saverin referenced. the woman that was on there was, she said that that it was like really hard to navigate the website. So her MO was basically exchange a couple of messages on the site to see if someone was a legit person, and then move it to some other form of instant messaging to continue a conversation.
And like I've made like OkCupid's and a couple of the other websites a couple years ago, right after me and my husband broke up. But I outright said, like, I'm a girl. I'm looking for other girls, not really interested in dudes. And I said that pretty blatantly in my profile. Mm-hmm. And all the messages that poured in were dude, like awful. I didn't get any super horrible, but just an awful amount of just dudes who, you know. And they got a checkbox to, like, hide me from X. And I'm starting to see why you have to have that check, because all you do is get inundated by dudes that don't listen to, sorry, I'm not interested.
Mm. Well, have you tried cock? I could turn you around.
I'm looking at the same article,
too. Okay, so like, I'll start discussing a little bit while Saverin is skimming it. So basically, Dan Savage posted this today. He's talked a little about Ashley Madison, but what he had was an email conversation between him and one of the few women that were on the site, and he said he did post it with her permission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was thanking him for like kind of going to bat for them, because like they're really being, I guess, characterized as a lot of shitty people by the media, mm-hmm. which on first blush you kind of think about, but you know, he's really uncovering some of the many reasons why you would be on there, other than it's the bravado of I'm going to cheat on my wife or something like that, and it was a back and forth between him and this woman. It was really very interesting. I think it's on his stranger.com blog. His
blog.
It's thestranger.com,
yeah,
it's right?
Yes, thestranger.com. Okay. And yeah, it's basically, she's like, yeah, most of the tales I got from dudes were plausible tales of woe, though sometimes this was just lonely, bored, / not enough attention at home. Not in a creepy way, but in a genuine way. 30% wanted casual sex and were kind of cocky about the cheating. Part of the bravado, though, I think. Men know that being too pathetic does not attract women. Or part of that is the bravado, I think. Let's see. He replies that, it's like, that's interesting. I figured there'd be guys on there who are faking tales of woe to make themselves seem more sympathetic / deserving of your attention. You're suggesting that it was the opposite. Guys with legit tales of woe faked being callous, cheating bastards to make themselves seem more attractive. Okay, as I've said about 10,000 times since the news of the hack broke, people hear about infidelities that lead to divorce. People hear about the ones that destroy marriages. But people never hear about the infidelities that save marriages. Have you participated in an infidelity that saved a marriage? What I mean is, of course, have you participated in the kind of cheating that made it possible for a married person who might have otherwise divorced their partner, a partner who would have been devastated by the divorce, to stay married and stay sane? And the reply is, yes, absolutely I have, and it changed my view of marriage and cheating, and it's much less dramatic than the cancer story you shared, and probably more common. The cancer story is actually the back and forth where he received an email from a policy wonk in D.C., a woman who's married to a husband, has kids, but her husband's dying of cancer, and the only reason she stayed sane is because she was able to get some action on the side, because her husband certainly isn't providing, because he's dying from cancer. And she has kids, so she's not going to divorce him.
Mm.
And they're already going through tough shit, but she still has her needs. Oh, P.S., by the way, she's also like some conservative think tank person and would lose her job if this were found out.
Right.
So it's like it's really a fucked up no-win situation there.
And just after, if you've got a partner that's not able to either form or is in so much pain that, you know, between the chemo and everything else, that they're just wrecked, sometimes you need a little bit of escape valve. I mean, it's not a great thing, but it's hard to have a partner that's chronically ill. And I speak that from my own personal experience. It's it's sometimes really, really hard to have a partner that's just chronically in pain, ill, or just whatever. It just drains you at times.
Yeah.
And that's not even having a partner that's, like, got cancer or something terminal, but, you know.
But yeah. I mean, there's a lot more to this situation, and is, we're like, yeah, don't cheat, but then also sometimes there's reasons.
Well, the lady herself was one that, like, you know, she had a very different sex drive than her husband, and he was like, you have permission to do this, but I don't want any details at all, or, you know, it'll really fuck me up, which is legitimate. And what she's really worried about now is that now that this hack and all this information is getting out there, she's also a public official of some kind. So now she has to worry about her husband and kids and her job and
understanding in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. It's such a fucking mess. Then there's the rentboy.com raid.
Yeah, so I heard about this.
I hadn't heard about that.
All right, so there was a Backpage website called rentboy.com. And basically, it was the feds coming in and shutting down a website that hooked up dudes and rent boys. And people are obviously kind of mad about that. Because they're basically like, look, you know, this you know, there's the people, the you know, sex workers, and people are like, yo, this should be decriminalized and whatnot. And are you trying to go to rentboy.com?
Yeah, I was just seeing what would happen, and it reroutes to seizedserver.com.
Oh, great.
Okay, so
now you're on some list somewhere.
Probably.
But you went there on my Wi-Fi, so thanks.
You're welcome.
So
okay, so it was basically a Backpage website that hooked up male escorts with gay dudes.
See if they're watching.
Yep. Thanks. Your iPad's IP is on a list with ICE and Homeland Security.
And I imagine that after something like this hits the news, a lot of
people will go to it.
A lot of people are just curious.
I'm joking.
Curious.
I'm already on a million lists, I'm sure.
I know I am, because I'm an immigrant.
Yeah. Took in her gerbs.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm employed. That means I took somebody's gerb. But, FBI has lists on all that stuff. But anyway.
Basically, there's an article here. It's like, I'm beginning to think the Rimboy.com raid could beat a sex work decriminalization movement what Prop 8 was to marriage equality. A victory for opponents of sexual freedom and personal autonomy that winds up backfiring on them spectacularly. And since Rimboy.com is a site that hooked up male escorts with male clients, the conversation about prohibition / decriminalization can't be derailed by the sexist heroic male savior / damsel in distress narratives blown by supporters of the current and harmful status quo. And it was just one of those, yeah, I can see that.
There's been some, I saw a couple of interesting quotes and such from people that were actually male prostitutes or male escorts on Rent Boy, and they were talking about how much safer it is to be able to vet somebody over the internet, and it's not 100% safe, but you kind of get a better feel for somebody, you follow your instincts, and then you meet them in person. As opposed to standing on a street corner,
wiggling your butt,
just waiting for somebody. But they said that, you know, incidence of murder among male prostitutes is pretty high, even more among transgendered prostitutes, and even more among transgendered persons of color.
Yeah,
which there are quite a few. On rentboy.com, or so I'm led to believe by the article.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this, yeah, on one hand, it's illegal, but it's, I mean, it really is a pretty victimless crime, because the thing is, like, they're sole proprietors of that business when they're on a website like that. They're not answering to a pimp, they're not getting smacked around by someone who takes more than half their money. That's basically what happens when they're out on the street.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if they're sole proprietors, they also don't have a backup system to rescue them when shit goes south. So.
Well, still.
Well, pimp's just not going to do that either. I mean, if you get AIDS or something from being a rent boy, you're kicked out on your ass. If you're working with a pimp, they'll just find somebody else. Mm-hmm. Same if you're a woman and you have a pimp. If you get pregnant or something, I mean, how much are they really going to care for you then, you know?
It's just one of those interesting things where it's like you have the I guess, the morality police.
Yeah.
In a way, you know, it's like it seems really incongruous in this day and age. It's like, well, what would we do? Well, we got the feds and we busted this website and stole all their assets.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like there was actually people concerned that now are they going to go after the users of the website, the rent boys? Are they going to hunt them down and use their data to find them and arrest them? You know, I mean, like, what are they going to do? You know, every single person who has been making money that way is probably now under threat by the feds.
Mm-hmm.
Going, well, we'll just hook them up. Oh, what's that? You showed up to a place to meet a dude that you thought you were okay with? Lol, I'm a fed.
Yeah. I mean, the war on sex and the war on drugs are, like, the biggest fucking ruiners of lives and wastes of money that the U.S. government has ever undertook.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, George Carlin said, selling is legal, fucking is legal. Why isn't selling fucking legal? And I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's your body and you're making the free will decision to do it.
There's a lot of fucked up situations out there where people are sort of roped into it because they have no other choice.
Yeah,
or,
I mean, it's if it's a free will proposition.
Yeah, I'm totally for it. Like, if it's like something that somebody decides they want to do and they're comfortable with it and that's what they want to do for a living, then they should be able to conduct themselves like any other business person.
Yep.
And people should be able to pay somebody. I mean, I pay somebody to massage my back. It should be legal to have somebody massage my dick as well.
Perhaps they massage your prostate.
Yeah, or whichever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm paying somebody for a physical experience. To me, I'm sort of like, it's a more intimate physical experience, but like, I was like, isn't it weird to getting undressed the first time when I had a massage? And it's like, you know, you just get used to it after a while. It's just a thing. And it's like, I just don't see a reason why that should be treated so differently, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pro-fucking, pro-legal weed.
Yep. We're just social libertarians, goddammit.
I want to be able to snort cock, that was a slip. Snort coke off of a hooker's back.
You can snort cock off a hooker's back, too.
Yeah, true.
It might not get you very far, but you could do it.
Just, you know, hire a man and a woman just lays there, plops his dick on the small of the woman's back, and I suck it. It's like, that seems completely pointless.
Yes.
And then I could, totally be like, I'm straight now. It's not gay. There was a woman involved. She was there as furniture, but
it's like eating sushi off of a chick's body. She's there as a plate. It's
that's weird about that. I would love to see them with dudes.
Is that when she just lies there and you just kind of lay on top of her and fuck, and then she's, you know?
No,
really?
I was like saying you know you've seen in the movies where it's like the Japanese woman, mm-hmm. She lays there dead still and they eat the sushi off her body.
Yeah, that's an interesting custom that I think that we should expand to all genders.
I've seen dudes with it on it.
Really? Mm-hmm. I haven't. You should show me these places.
I haven't just seen pictures. I haven't been to the places.
Oh, you're useless. Find me a place where I can eat sushi without soy off of a dude.
Now, the without soy is the hard part.
Yeah, funny enough, that would be the hardest part of that proposition.
Yeah. All right, so here's another perspective on the Renfoy raid by Justin Vivian Bond. This is another one on Stranger.com.
Okay.
So I think that to many in our community, this feels like a throwback to when the police raided gay bars in the 50s and 60s. Despite the salaciousness of the language of the complaint, I don't think the charges will stick because basically the site provides a forum for people to meet and make personal arrangements on their own. Rentboy.com may be a provocative title, but sexy fun language is not illegal. Mm-hmm. This invasion of a consensual hookup site, which is run for and by members of the LGBT community, feels like a real slap in the face after gentrification and the Giuliani and Bloomberg administrations drove so many New York City gay bars out of business and forced people to meet online instead of in person. Also, if the people who register with Rentboy.com are trading sexual encounters for money and they're doing so on their own terms with agency and presumably without being coerced by outside forces other than the need to earn a living in a difficult economic climate, sex workers in our culture need to be protected, respected, and applauded, not harassed and shamed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this raid, thousands of independent workers worldwide will not be able to pay their rent this month, and they are concerned about what this means for their safety and legal protection. There is a movement happening in many organizations creating Know Your Rights seminars this week. The author accidentally a word there. This is about workers' rights. Labor rights and equal protections for all kinds of workers without basic access to legal and health care support because they are deemed criminals or denied access to banking, housing, or Facebook in all sectors of the adult industry, not just escorts. It's about sex phobia and public shaming. Sex workers are strong and have organizations like Urban Justice Center and Swap Sex Workers Outreach Sex Workers Outreach Project, whom you might want to reach out to. Mainly, I feel this is a perfect... And this is where the language is a little weird. Mainly, I feel that this is the perfect example of the hypocrisy of mainstream patriarchal culture and the government. Queer people are now invited to join in the systems of oppression, i.e. the military and marriage, that straight people have supported and engaged in for years.
What?
Yeah, I said, this is where the language got a little weird.
Oh, like, we went into Tumblr here.
It's like, the first three paragraphs were going so well. The straight people have supported and engaged in for years when it comes to freedom of choice as to what they do with their bodies. Women in the LGBT community are still being exploited by the government and power-hungry individuals for the purposes of financial gain and career advancement.
In summary, Bush did 9/11. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
So they're calling marriage as systematic oppression?
Well,
it's part of the patriarchy.
Queer people are now invited to join in the systems of oppression, i.e. the military and marriage, that straight people have supported for and engaged in for years. When it comes to freedom of choice, yeah. There's a few sentences that are kind of off, but then
the article is good, and then it just goes way too...
And
whatever.
Then the last part. I mean, is this really a Homeland Security issue? I don't think so. A gay man in Brooklyn who happens to have a rim chair is hardly the equivalent of someone on a commuter train with an AK-47.
Wait, did you say a rim chair?
Rim chair.
Oh, nice. I'm thinking just specialty furniture? That's awesome. Whatever you're into. The fecal people have their glass tables.
Anyway,
we should have
years
our
of undercover work and untold amounts of city and federal taxpayer dollars were spent on this undercover sting operation, and who was being harmed? Nobody. Well, it's funny because Dan Savage posted this, like, it's like this, and then after it finished, he's like, well, almost all of this. I don't think the modern institution of marriage is inherently oppressive. Marriage is whatever two people who happen to be married to each other say it is. Some of the default settings and assumptions are oppressive, and the history of marriage is certainly oppressive. But thoughtful straights and queers are de-defaulting these settings and challenging those assumptions.
Yeah.
Oppression, when it comes to marriage, is strictly opt-in these days.
I didn't buy Tyrion from his dad for, like, a bag of barley.
And a cow,
and now I own him or anything like that.
Why not?
You could have gotten a cow!
Because I'm so non-traditional.
And you didn't want cows. You had no ways to keep them.
Well, I mean, we didn't know
where... You had to learn how to milk.
We were in the apartment. We didn't know if we'd be moving soon.
And cows don't do stairs well.
No, not at all.
Cows don't do anything but, like, flat surfaces very
well. We got them little rollerblades.
I mean, hell, they're confused by a couple bars in the ground.
Yes.
That'll keep them in.
Yeah, I'm amazed that actually stops hooved animals. Like,
I mean, couldn't they just get a running start and hop?
When we go to Oklacon and we see that, you know, for the horses up there, it's like, I guess any critter with hooves can't handle that thing.
Because they're rounded... The bars are rounded, even if they're rusty as shit and their hooves are rough, the metal would slip and they could slip in and break their legs.
So they know not to even try it, I guess?
Or they may have tried it briefly and felt how uneven it is. And
yeah, they learn. That was like, you can train a horse to be afraid of string by... animals in general, like if you have an electric fence.
By going, woo!
No, if you have an electric fence, Uh-huh. And then, you know,
as you
figure,
do,
and you figure they figure out, oh shit, that's electric.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take it away, but leave this like a string. They'll still be afraid of it.
Mm.
Until one of them stumbles into it and goes, oh,
it's not electric anymore. We're getting out of here.
Our horses used to go up to the fence, and they would touch it with their whiskers, so that they could feel if there's a tingle or a slight zap. And if they didn't get anything, they were gone, and we had to go and get them. So, yeah, but we watched them go up.
Horses can be dumb, but they're also pretty smart.
Yeah, I watched them go up, and they'll just get real close, and if you're right there, you could see them just kind of, whisker, and then they'll go and trot off. But if nothing, and then they're just...
like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Screw your fence.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I got zapped more times by the damn electric fence as a kid.
Don't whiz on the electric phones.
That's a real thing. I had boyfriends, as in boys who are friends, because he was like 7 and I was like 9. Uh-huh. So, little boy. Who decided, oh, I'm going to pee on the fence and see what it does. He learned it's a thing.
Oh, all the places you could get electrocuted. Up your urethra is like probably the least preferable.
A nice solid stream and zunk.
Yeah.
It's a real
thing. Shut it off.
No, just a simple like interruption like will be enough.
Well, yeah.
You were like, I'm not getting pee on my hand. He used to stay there and fry.
Well, it's usually pee jolt and he's like, "Fuck." Like, "Yeah, congrats, you're a dumbass."
So in semi-related news and semi-related onto the topic of puritanical governments, I introduced Fuzz to an anime this week.
Yes. Siam's been watching that
one. Shimoneta, A Boring World Where the Concept of Dirty Jokes Doesn't Exist. It is a world where the Puritans have completely taken over society and sexual words and phrases are completely banned.
And you have little shock collars.
You have a collar around your neck and wrist monitoring things.
It doesn't actually shock you, from what I can tell. It sets off
an alarm.
You. Yeah. If you say a dirty word like "rrrr,"
yes,
because they're all censored. So funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use a funny noise to censor.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a really grim, dark anime, because in the second episode, it's like, yeah, they have to wear the wrist things, and the police can tell what you're drawing if you're drawing something. So if you try to draw porn, they'll arrest you. And that's like they mentioned that, yeah, they'll send anybody to prison, even children, without a suspended sentence. It's the grim future of the puritanical rise of the puritanical overlords. We must stop it.
Yes.
So we run around in public in a sheet with panties on your face and yell cock-a-doodle pussy.
I do that anyway. That's Saturday night at a furry con.
And throw cards around that have hentai images on them.
Well, I sell my hentai images.
Yeah. But you can actually catch it on Funimation's YouTube page.
Yeah, we were surprised about that.
Because I was like, I haven't got a Crunchyroll sub, but it's owned by Funimation, and their stuff is not on Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck, I'm not going to pay $10 for this month, too. And it's on their YouTube page in 720. So, okay.
Watch it on YouTube.
Yep.
Yep, Siam's been watching that for a couple weeks now.
There's actually a lot of good stuff this season. Gate is really good. It's a military anime.
I don't think I've caught him watching that one.
The conceit is that in the near future, a magical gate opens in the middle of downtown Tokyo, and an army of dudes essentially from the Middle Ages charge through and get their shit pushed in. Because they are about 1,000 years too late to try that shit, even in a relatively unarmed country like Japan. And so the anime is it's based on a series of novels where the author was basically writing parallels to the American invasion of Iraq. Because it's really easy to go in and stomp the shit out of the local military, but how do you deal with the people that are left after you've shattered their government? And so it's getting that way where it's like, okay, well, we're having to deal with the surviving government here as well as, the remnants of the army being terroristic towards other villages and plus the, you know.
Wait, so a gate opens in downtown Tokyo,
modern downtown Tokyo, and it goes to a parallel world, mm-hmm. which is roughly late Roman, early medieval times.
Mm-hmm.
They've got swords, they've got magic, they've got elves and dragons, but Japan has 50 cals and machine guns,
mm-hmm.
and helicopters and tanks.
So Japan goes through?
Japan goes through, and on the other side, there's the, you know, because the in the first episode, like, the first, that was, like, the first group to come through, the advanced party, and there's, like, 150, 300,000 dudes on the other side waiting to go through when Japan rolls its tanks through. Mm-hmm. Thankfully for Japan, they have tanks, and those dudes had horses, and it doesn't go well for the dudes with the horses.
Even if there's a ton of them.
Yeah. And so, basically, it's them establishing a bulwark and trying to figure out what the fuck to do with the people there, because they're like, we don't want to rule your country. We just don't want you attacking our shit. It's really cool. It's a military anime. That's really fun.
That's an interesting concept.
There is another one called Charlotte, which mm-hmm. the name has nothing to do with anything, as far as I can tell. It's by Key, same guys who did Kanon, Air, Angel Beats. And it's a low-rent X-Men, in a way. In this world...
Oh, yeah, he
probably watched that, where it's the... Certain teenagers get powers during their adolescence. They fade when they become adults, and the powers themselves are all imperfect in some way or another.
Yep.
But there are scientists in the world that are desperately trying to find these people so they can experiment upon them. The protagonist has Before the ability to... control someone else for 5 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
And his body collapses to the ground.
Yeah, and he was going down a really bad path and kind of got snapped up by a group. Yeah, I saw that one. Like a girl who turns invisible, but only when you're looking at her.
Yeah, and she kicks the drugs out of his hands. That was the most current episode, because...
I saw the one where he first got snatched, kind of whatever... And she was, like, sitting across from his little sister.
Yeah.
And then suddenly disappears only...
Yeah, her special power is she can turn invisible.
To one person.
At a time. And there's another dude who's a speedster. He can fling himself, but he can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
There's another person who can fly kind of okay. There's another girl whose ability is channeling.
Mm-hmm.
But she can only channel one spirit, that of her dead sister, who had the power of pyrokinesis. Because it's basically like siblings, if one sibling has it, the other sibling has some sort of power too.
Mm-hmm.
But their powers are all imperfect in some way or the other. And the conceit is they're trying to kind of keep things under wraps so that the kids don't get snatched up by the scientists
mm-hmm.
and get their brains poked at. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those. That one was interesting. Siam watches a lot of goddamn anime.
I have watched a surprising large amount of this season. Episodes, shows, not a bunch of episodes in any one of them, but I've tried a lot of them.
Finding an anime that Siam has not consumed is really rare.
Yeah. Well, I do the side anime show with my friend James,
mm-hmm.
and it's 3-episode shot on my YouTube channel. Like and subscribe! and we were up to like 27, 28 episodes of that, and we just watch the first few episodes of an anime and decide if we like it or not.
Yay or nay.
Watched Food Wars, watched Roka, Roka Brave of the Six Flowers, which is kind of shit. I didn't like it.
I don't think that one was one that shared me.
Kentai Collection, Girls Who Are Ships.
What? I think I did see that one.
It's the ultimate shipping anime.
Yeah, it's they're high school girls who strap on weird-ass looking gear and skate on the surface of the ocean. They're girls who have the spirit of Japanese warships from World War II.
There's some really fucked up concepts.
Yeah.
In anime.
Well, there's... I mean, if you have the girls that are X, you have, like, Strike Witches, girls who are planes. You have Upote, where girls who are guns. And then you have... this, where girls who are...
Ships.
I mean, come on, it's what the fuck ever, right? Upote is weird because, like, in the show, the characters are basically aged relative to their weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have Garand, who is this old dude. Well, he is a Impwon Garand, but then you have the main character who's Effin Fowl, I think it is. I could be wrong. And, you know, she's like a high schooler. There's the older girls who are actual proper combat rifles, and they're older, but like the little kids are submachine guns. So it's like this girl, and it is the most bizarre concept. It's anime, all right?
Anime. That's pretty much, I've learned to just shrug and accept it and just say, that's fucking weird, okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's still plenty of good stuff out there, and there's some weird shit too, but, you know, I thought it was funny, though, that I was able to get Fuzz to watch a couple episodes of this with me. Mm-hmm. Like, check this out, this is really fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's not always hot-blooded teenagers and giant robots.
My biggest gate to watching more anime is I tend to watch movies while doing something or watch TV while doing something else.
Yeah, and you can't watch subtitles.
Oh, God, I hate dubs, and a lot of the stuff is just subtitled.
Sub only.
And it's hard to do something and read. It's kind of an all-encompassing. If you're watching subtitled anime, that's all you're doing. You can't look away because then you can't read.
You miss something.
Yeah.
So.
I have to really get grabbed by it, like Attack on Titan, for me to be able to sit and watch it.
Yeah. Hey, we did always watch Monster Musume.
I did watch a couple of that. It's
incredibly lewd.
It's mostly the style of girls are really... That style doesn't do it for me, so...
Ah. What, you don't want to... You know,
giant titted centaurus. Oh my god!
You don't want to fuck the snake?
No.
Oh. Don't fuck the snake.
It looks like they've got fucking water balloons taped to their chests.
How about the harpy?
I don't think I've run into her yet. I only watched like
season episode 2.
Yeah, I watched like episode 1, and then Cyan was watching one further down the line with the centaurus. I didn't go in so chronological order.
There's the
snake. God damn it, Sovereign! You told me there wasn't one. Fucking Fuda version of that picture.
I hadn't seen that shit.
He just posted it today.
Yeah. Of course he's going to make a Fuda version, because people like boobs and dick on the same person for some reason.
It's all these brony artists are like, I'm going to do the Fuda version at Source.
Yeah, it's like... like, all right, look.
I thought you just said it was hot.
I did.
Oh,
I
just, and then you went...
It's more, I know it's probably gigantic dick and gigantic tits.
Not really.
Not in this case, no.
Most of Atrel's Fuda characters
his anatomy is really good. But,
are fairly realistic that they're large-hipped, female-bodied individuals with massive penises.
That's definitely Fuda.
Yep.
Fudanari, golly, what a day.
God, in Monster Musume, there's the snake chick, there's the harpy girl, there's the centaurus, there's the mermaid girl, the slime girl, and the creepy spider. Yeah. Don't fuck the spider.
Don't fuck any of them, or else they get, you know, in deep doo-doo.
Yeah. So, man, anime, right? What a fucking weird start of the show. It's like we're talking about, all right, you know, infidelity and rent boys and anime.
Those are all the subjects of an anime.
Yes. And now we're going to do a reading of the manga. I am the main character in a harem manga, but I'm gay, and so every day is hell for me. Chapter 1. That's actually the name of a manga.
I know. I hope that is all one character in Japanese.
Is that actually a...
Yes.
Yes.
It says, the manga's title is, I'm the main character in a harem anime, but I'm gay, and every day is hell for me. It's kind of like .com. Well, there's the, you know, Shimonetta, but the actual full name is A Boring World Where the Concept of Dirty Jokes Doesn't Exist. and I mean, they get a lot of meaning into a couple characters there, just saying.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm sure if Rikoshi heard this, he could explain.
Yes.
We can right ask into the him show.
Hey, Rikoshi, explain anime.
How do Japanese... How do Japan? Why is Japan?
Yes.
Why is animals?
Why is anime?
Anime.
That's a question that's been asked for a very long time. Yes. Why is anime?
Yep.
Some is good, some is horrific.
Yeah.
You're wearing a very anime t-shirt today, Sam.
Yep. I got this shirt at Alcon years and years and years ago. Like, I got it when I could wear it, and then I couldn't wear it for a really long time, but I kept it because I liked it, and now I wear it, and it's big on me.
It's kind of an awesome thing.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a woodcut where it's a samurai pulling a sword in front of a castle, except there's UFOs attacking. And I have another one, which
makes perfect sense.
Which is a different samurai in the brown shirt, and it's a woodcut painting of like a woman, except it's Illithid. It's like a Cthulhu-looking dude.
Hmm.
He has a squid head.
Oh, tentacles.
He's pulling his sword like, fuck that, you keep those tentacles away from my dick!
And or anus.
Yep.
Any Some people are into that.
He's apparently not that guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have an FA account.
Yeah.
He's old school. He's still on Cheesy Art.
Oh, man.
It's all they had in feudal Japan.
Cheesy Art.
FA, feudal affinity.
Yep. Man, you know how hard it would be to run an image board with woodcuts? It's like, check out that block I posted.
I'm going to upload this to my scraps. It's just shavings.
All right.
Oh, we're too easily abused.
We are. In other news, unrelated to anything prior we've discussed, Uncovered is now available for purchase on Audible.com.
Is it available in woodcut?
No. It is available on 500 vinyls.
What?
Well, because, you know, it's a pretty long
book. Oh, right. Okay, I see.
I mean, an LP's, what, 70 minutes?
I don't know.
The book's like 14 hours, so you'd get like 20 records.
I thought you were actually saying you
that
Audible
would be impressive
was like,
if you actually could get somebody to make one up on record.
Audible's like, we think this series is really cool, so we're going to offer a limited edition vinyl.
And the box is like, you know, 6 inches thick.
Yeah.
Includes liner notes with the full text of the book on the inside.
They all weigh like 30 pounds. What are we to shipping to Australia? Your entire blood supply.
Yeah, it was actually nice. Went through first time, no quibbles from Audible. Just fucking sailed right through. Now available for sale. I thought I was really happy with that.
That's really cool.
Because in the past I'd had such issue with it.
It
took me a while to find the exact fucking right settings to use to get it right.
Yep. That's good. Yeah. They made that such a pain in the ass. I'm really glad that you're able to get this one through pretty quickly. On related Kyle Gold news, I just posted the cover and pre-order link today for Kyle's next book, which will be Losing My Religion. It's coming out at Rainforest here in a little under a month.
I'm trying to do an REM pun, and it's just not.
Well, that's the thing. It's really cool. The main characters, there's four guys, and they're in an REM cover band called REM AKE. So it's like a remake, but it's REM. It's a neat pun. I like it. But the main character is this married coyote who's in an open relationship, and he had this best friend Wolf, who's also in the band, who was his wingman for getting girls when they're on the road. But then his wingman got gay married to an Arctic fox, and so now he doesn't have his wingman. So he's trying to initiate the new member of the band into that. But the new member of the band is a gay ex-Mormon. And none of this is spoilers. It's all in the blurb on the website. So they're traveling around. It's a road trip novel, which is really cool. I actually really like that. But it's four guys in a van. Each chapter is named after a different REM song. And the cover and interior illos are by Black Tegan, who did all the artwork for Dude, Where's My Fox? And did that amazing cover for The Furry Future. But, yeah, if you want to show it to see, do you want to pull it up? I don't know if you... I assumed you were pulling something up on your...
No, I was... There.
Oh, was okay. Just... Let me go ahead and pull up the cover so I can show you guys it. But I read it before its final form, and I really enjoyed it, and hope you will, too. And I'm sure we'll have the ebook on Bad Dog like a month after release. And the other book I'm finalizing right now is Inhuman Acts, which is a furry noir anthology with 13 different stories in it. So I have not posted that on Fur Planet yet, but I'm looking forward to doing so. Today was an interesting day for me. I actually took 3 days off of work to dedicate to doing book layouts and proofreadings for Fur Planet. Because there's just so... I've bitten off more than I can chew. There's just so much stuff to do before Rainforest.
It's, yeah, we got Rainforest and MFF here in the near future.
MFF's not till December now, so...
Still.
That's a little bit... But yeah.
I like that cover.
Isn't that awesome? It's a very different look for a Kyle Gold book.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Yeah. That doesn't have a... It has fox, but it doesn't have a tiger. Where's the tiger? Oh, God. I'm very confused.
But
there's
I really
tiger on the cover.
I really love Black Tegan's work lately. She's coming up with some amazing stuff. And, you know, yeah, we like the cover design the way it was so much that the Fur Planet and Cupcakes logos and everything are going on the back cover so they don't mess it up or anything.
Good. I mean, it's a fantastic cover.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, it's super different for him, so hoping that people give it a shot, try it out. But I liked it. Oh God, we're gonna have like I don't even know how many new books at Rainforest now. I'm losing
as
my mind.
As many as you can chew through.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm losing my mind here, you know. But it's fun at the same time. So where do you want to go from here, Saffron?
Well, we are not quite to an hour yet. I think we're probably at about 45 minutes of actual recording. So why don't we stop, save,
okay,
take a drink, use the restroom, whatever. We'll play some music, and we'll be back because we've got a handful of emails.
We'll be back, and when we return, I will be sitting in a rimming chair with Saffron under me.
Is a lot of blood, Fuzz. I think we might need to get that checked out.
I told you not to lick that one spot.
I mean, that's just going to be a real problem, Fuzz. I think it's a good thing I was on this plastic sheeting. Yeah. It's terrible.
A little Windex will clean right up. Oh, shit. Get the shop back.
It's all right. You're clean. I know. You've been tested.
This loud with the shop back on.
Anyways, hey, we're back.
if people hadn't noticed.
Yeah, we're terrible, and Fuzz is worse.
Not untrue.
Oh, look at my laugh.
Yeah.
That was a genuine laugh.
So, yeah, we're back, and we've got emails. Emails, Ms. Emails. So why don't we just get on that shit?
Yo. So, didn't you just do that? Oh.
Gross. Anyways, this email is titled Notcast Beyond Thunderdome, which is the Was that the second or third?
Third. Bust a deal, face the wheel.
You got, what, Tina Turner?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
You can shovel shit, can't you?
Yes. Richard, we're breaking our old rules. I forgot to mute my fucking computer again. God damn.
Start reading.
All right, so I'll appreciate if this stayed anonymous. Thanks. Hello, Anthro Audio Aficionados. Apologies in advance for the loquacious letter, but I've got a fetish question for you. Not for me, but for my boyfriend, who isn't a listener. Although, hopefully, I can change that. Before I begin, a bit of basic background. We've been dating for about 2 years now, long distance. He's in Arizona, and I am in Texas, so not too far apart. We would both love to meet up in person, but jobs and finances haven't been cooperative. So far, it's been really great. He's sweet and funny and talented and compassionate, and if he's listening to this, probably rolling his eyes at how sappy I am. But there's been some problems.
Wah, wah, wah.
We both suffer from pretty severe depression. Mine's clinically diagnosed, his not, but if he doesn't have MDD, that's major depressive disorder, I'll eat my hat. Neither of us have the funds to get the kind of treatment we'd really like. I can afford to see a shrink every few months to get my meds refilled, but he doesn't even have that luxury, and he refused to let me lend him any money, saying he doesn't want to be a burden, so treatment options are limited. Thanks, American healthcare system! One of the downright disastrous deficits depression does... One of the downright disastrous deficits depression doles out for my boyfriend and is a crippling load of guilt about, well, pretty much everything. But the area you guys might be able to help with is the sexy side of things. We're both very open about what turns us on, and we mostly have a good overlap of interest and kinks. I'm into a few things he isn't, but he's been great about wanting to explore new stuff with me. He's into a few things I'm not, and I try to do the same for him that he does for me, but it's tough. Not because I'm turned off by his kink, it doesn't gross me out or anything. It just doesn't do anything for me. But I'm perfectly willing to play along for his sake. The real problem is how he feels about it. Whenever it gets brought up, says he wants to draw something featuring it, or I want to write a story for him with RP it, with it, or RP with him, RP it with him online. Yeah. He gets incredibly unhealthily guilty about it. He says things like he's disgusting for liking it, or a terrible person for trying to push it on me, which he hasn't done at all. I won't say what it is, because he probably wouldn't want me to, but it doesn't involve anything painful or dangerous, and it's uncommon, but not rare enough that you can't find it on E621 or Dripaboru. In short, there's nothing about it that he should feel guilty for. I've tried to get him to understand that, but nothing I do or say helps. Please, purveyors of podcast pointers, help. Anything you can think of would be greatly appreciated. Alliteratively yours, Anonymous.
Okay, so now we give like 3 seconds of advice, and then spend half an hour trying to figure out what the kink is.
That, maybe.
I think it might be kissing. God. And Shiva thinks it might be sneezing.
Oh, man.
I was trying to pause it so that we could cut it out.
Nah, don't worry about it.
Editing? Who does that?
Ain't no thing.
That's only because I did like half of one instead of my usual 5 or 7.
That's true. If it was a lot.
Her, it would just be massive spike, massive spike, massive spike. And be like, oh, that's where Shiva exploded.
It was mostly because I usually sneeze like 7 times.
You do
so. Indeed.
Well, this is one of those things where it's probably depression's a bitch. Where,
yeah,
you can have your kinks and it ain't dangerous or, what do you say, you know, it's not painful or dangerous and it's uncommon but not super rare. Well, okay, whatever floats your anime goat, I guess.
But, anime goat.
So it's not autoerotic asphyxiation.
It's not dangerous.
Which is when a car masturbates.
Yes. and dragons fucking cars. I mean, there's subreddits dedicated to that shit. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
In
all seriousness, I mean, the thing is that we can logically, you know, talk about all the reasons why you shouldn't feel guilty for having a particular kink and not think that you're pushing it on your boyfriend when he seems perfectly happy to deal with it with you. But depression doesn't really care about logical answers and things that you know to be true. You know you're not a shitty person, but your brain will tell you that you're a shitty person because depression is shitty. And the only real thing you can do about that is therapy and medication, or maybe meditation as a starter to kind of clear your mind. But yeah, you're not a shitty person, but you do need to seek help.
Yeah, and you're right. The American healthcare system's kind of shit.
I'm sure there's...
Fuck you, Ronald Reagan, for cutting out all the mental health care.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of options out there for, like, lower-income folks to be able to receive some basic mental health care. I'm not sure. There's probably a hell of a long wait and all that. It probably
depends on where you're at, too.
Yeah.
But no, when it comes to being guilty about your kinks, I mean, you don't... You're not down on it, and... You know, he likes it, but he has such a negative response to it. He probably has some severe internalized issue about whatever that kink is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we could waste a bunch of time trying to guess, but whatever. I mean, he kind of has to work past that, because I'm just going to guess that having something you're really into but also gives you crippling depression about is not healthy. Just going to guess. And, you know, being into, I mean, I don't, it seems like such a weird thing. It's like if you were guilty about something, but you're really into it, you'd might, like, drop that thing, maybe? But I don't know.
Yeah, but some people feel super guilty about just having gay sex.
Yeah, true. Because
they were brought up in some uber-fundamentalist environment.
Oh, man. What if his kink is heterosexual sex in the missionary position for the purpose of procreation? God, that's sick.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
We should send all those people to an island.
Yeah. We did. It's called Australia.
Right.
And now look what happened.
Yeah.
Drop bears.
The humping kangaroos.
Dingoes.
But upside down.
Ex-husbands.
Yeah.
They're humping ex-husbands.
So, yeah. I hope. I'm just going to say to your dude that, you know, a kink's a kink, and whatever floats your boat, there's no reason to be guilty about a fantasy. You know, it's... It's what you like, and if it can't happen in real life, well, it's certainly, you know, you certainly can't become 20 stories tall and step on somebody. You know, I mean, whatever you're...
Fuck you, don't crush his dreams, you shitlord.
I'm going to tell you something else, Fuzz.
Like a 20-foot fur stepping on a regular human.
You could be anything you want, but a 20-foot tall dragon with a 20-ton cock.
You know, it's like those damn Monster High toys, the centaurs, telling our girls that they can grow up to be zombies or centaurs or spider girls or dragons.
You know, a centaur is an unrealistic body shape for a young girl to want to have.
Likewise, a zombie and robots. Little girls cannot grow up to be into robots unless we get really good at our Android technology yet.
Yet. Maybe cyborgs. Robots a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling out robots. Whatever. Robots. That old school way of saying robot.
Robots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, other than that, depression's not logical. And telling you, no, you shouldn't be ashamed of your
pain. You shouldn't feel guilty. You didn't actually kill all those people.
Thank you, Fuzz. You're helping.
It's what I try to do.
I think we've answered that email, Fuzz. Read the next one.
Okay.
He says that very chirpily. Okay.
A follow-up on offense being taken at gender shifting, etc. Dear Notcasters, on your last couple of shows, there have been questions and follow-ups about whether or not kinks within the fandom such as gender shifting and cross-dressing are offensive to trans people. By and large, the response seems to have been no, at least within the listeners and cast of the show. However, I was browsing through my Twitter feed today and saw the following news article published by one of the UK's more respected broadsheet newspapers. And I do actually remember reading about this some time ago before we got this email.
The title of the article is "Charity Race for Children's Hospice Where Runners Dress in Drag is a Hate Crime."
So, to continue the email, it will be detailed out here. In brief, the above link leads to a story describing how a UK-based charity supporting trans people is called a charity. Trans people is calling a charity fun run a hate crime, as some of the costume-wearing runners are men dressing in drag, wearing dresses and wigs for comic effect, to get people talking and raise awareness of the children's hospital they are fundraising for. Personally, I feel no shame in saying I find their opinion absolutely fucking ridiculous. Saying that a man dressing up in drag is a hate crime toward trans people is in itself offensive. A hate crime is not a term that should be used lightly. I am also going to add that along with trigger is being words that are have been completely devalued by the internet outrage circle. That they're just used so often that they don't have the real meaning and effect that they should have. A hate crime is not a term that should be used lightly, and to compare something as harmless and lighthearted as this to beatings, rapes, murders, mutilations, and other cruel acts, which are true hate crimes towards racial and religious groups or LGBT individuals, is utterly moronic. It makes me sad and very frustrated to see any portion of the queer community, however small, acting with such short-sighted disregard toward the real problems it faces. Jeeves, Scotland. This also reminds me of certain members of the community saying that trans people, the T should not be part of LGBT. They should get their own rights movement and not trying to piggyback on ours. And it's like this. Yeah, this was a rabbit in the fandom.
Oh, yeah. We had that discussion a few weeks ago.
Named after cooked bread. And I was just like,
baguette.
Wow,
baguette the bunny.
What a really shitty opinion, you know? And it's like, I'm not trans. I can't fully comprehend what it would be like to be in that situation. But saying that they're not a sexual and gender minority and that they don't have similar goals and face similar, bigotry as the rest of the GLBT group is just insane.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, fighting for trans rights and having
protections
and policies in place to protect people who are transitioning and stuff like that totally needs to be part of the gay rights movement. And especially now that the gays and lesbians have achieved a major rights goal with having same-sex marriage in this country, we really need to continue on in getting rights in other aspects, and that includes trans rights and not being able to be fired for being gay or lesbian and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I totally agree with Jeeves' point of view on that, and I was very disheartened to see that like these pro-gay activists had like gotten the righteousness stick so far up their ass as to oppose a fucking rally to raise money for cancer research for children.
And the comment from the police, Lancashire police said, "We are aware of and are investigating an incident that was reported to us as a hate crime on Thursday. It's something that hasn't even happened yet."
Mm-hmm.
God, you fucking morons.
Yeah, and it's just, come on, guys. Enough with the circular firing squad. You know, fight the things that are actually dangerous. Like these, some of these, like the fucks doing like female genital mutilation in Africa or countries where it's like legal to hang gay people because it's against the law.
Well, those people
and shit
are
like
brown.
That.
To depose them as racist. Remember the fucking town in the UK where there's a massive pedophilia ring run by a bunch of Pakistani people, and the police didn't go to it because they didn't want to be seen as racist.
Oh, yeah. See, I mean, I'm a very liberal person, but that's like a liberal point of view gone way too fucking far.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're going to attack this super fucking innocuous thing.
All it does, it makes you look like a fucking clown, and it gives the people who are social
costs you support.
Yeah.
There's so much weird shit going on that when something like this happens, all the I see it thrown up on Twitter's social justice warriors. And then it just kind of dilutes.
It dilutes any actual good that's being attempted to be done.
Yeah.
These like, fucking extremists are just, it makes a laughing joke out of the entire entire movement, because all they see is the ridiculousness, and
you know.
It's like how radical feminism completely devalues feminism as a whole.
Makes a new F word.
Well, I saw something. Someone dug up some of the old, like, advertising for anti-suffragettes, where it very much basically, if you're a suffragette, you're basically this harridan, ugly old woman that nobody would want anyways. I mean, you're shrill and shrieking and, you know, basically...
the same way feminists are characterized now.
Yeah, and that's just carried forward, but it's just, it's a really ugly... And it's the same thing that's getting pasted. And this is from back in...
1920s.
Yeah, 20s.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same shit. It's, you know, nearly 100 years later, and they're still playing the same tune.
Bigotry just doesn't really change its face or its story. I mean, it's how you saw, like, the pictures of the people in the 50s protesting interracial marriage. You know,
interracial marriage, March of the Antichrist. Interracial marriage. The Jews did this.
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously, there was an act. There's actual like photos of people that were like, "Oh, you know, the Jews are behind this."
Oh, I just thought
communism. It's March of the Antichrist, dude.
And what's kind of funny?
I know you hate Jews, so I just thought you were taking the opportunity to express that.
Don't even joke about that, dude. I've got enough shit on my plate.
And okay. The thing is what's considered to be the white majority has changed over time. So, I mean, you guys have to have had the scenes like no. Irish need apply, no Italians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, so what's part of the white majority has changed very, you know, it's somehow they eventually just got lumped into, you know, we're all pasty pale, you know. I can't.
Well, at some point it became not acceptable to discriminate against people the same color as you. But it's still socially acceptable to discriminate against
brown
people, yellow people, etc. Shit's fucked up, yo.
Yep.
But anyway, so Jeeves is totally right. Now it's Shiva's turn to read an email.
Oh, God, you want me to read?
Yeah, there's...
I'm just looking at some of the signage, like...
There's one here from Wolfie Man. And then there's a couple of tumblers.
Let's see, the GeekCon report?
GeekCon, yes.
Okay. Oh, God, that's long.
Do you, if you want to skip it and do a Tumblr, then
I'll give it a try. Okay. I thought I'd drop off a con report from GeekCon, which took place in Wisconsin at the Marriott West this weekend. I'd like to make a joke about biting the heads off chickens, but I already did that on Twitter on Friday. GeekCon is one of those multi-fandom conventions that crop up here and there, and it's been running for a good few years now. This one was particularly highlight for the couple reasons. First off, his theme was things that go bump in the night, a topic of particular interest to yours truly. Secondly, there was a good number of panels on things like non-monogamy and pop culture and media, writing, LGBTQI, what's I?
Intersexed.
Seriously, I'm becoming more fond of the quilt bag as time goes on.
Oh, shit, I didn't even pre-read the email. It's like, what quilt bag?
Yeah.
And similar topics that I've been wrestling with for a while now. I've got a lot of books to go track down and much less money to track them down with. Ah, well. Thirdly, and not at least, this con was also the anniversary of my brother getting to keep his leg after what can only be described as an exercise in American bootstrap stupidity, cutting short last year's con. Remember, kiddies, if some portion of your body doesn't heal properly, go to a freaking doctor. And if some portion of your body starts turning black, as in the color of the crayon, not the color of skin, that's when you go to the ER. You do not just keep quiet about it and hope for the best.
Remember the old medical advice. Once you go black...
they cut it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious if he was a diabetic and, yeah, because that's something I'm at risk for. The con had several guests of honor this year, including Chris Young of Young Justice Flame, Greg Weisman of Gargoyles fame, who is now probably convinced that one of the gals who ran some of the gatherings has spies everywhere watching out for him.
Huh.
I was hoping
sounds
to find...
like there's a story or two there.
I was hoping to find a few miscellaneous bits and pieces of gear for my steampunk getup for TeslaCon this year, but I couldn't quite find what I was after. The abundance of anime merch booth kind of drowned out the steampunks.
Goddamn weebs.
However, as mentioned, there were several excellent panels. Did you know that Netflix has a new Sense8? Is apparently rife with actual fairly positive non-monogamous romances.
Yeah, I've watched
now
the whole
I'm curious
thing.
About it.
Have you guys watched any of it?
No,
it's been on my
But it's one of
this.
Those Netflix series you can sit down and mainline if you really like it.
Yeah. As a quick note for geek fans, the actress who played Martha on Doctor Who plays a lesbian in Sense8, and you get to see a lot more of her than you ever did in Doctor Who.
Okay. Well, don't say too much more, because I'm going to watch it. And the game rooms were stocked better than I expected. I'll admit, I would never expected to see a D&D pinball machine in the wild, but there it was. Also, I got to spend a lot of time sitting in on demo sessions for Kitsune of Foxes and Fools. Now, Siam actually saw this last year, not this past Gen Con, the Gen Con before.
Really?
And he talked. It was a very, very fun game. So he got a good thumbs up. It's a semi-competitive but cooperative game. Like, it's very Kitsune. So you work with people as much as you have to, but there's some point where you might just turn around and screw them over. Mm-hmm. So you're very much all for yourself. It's just whether or not your goals line up with somebody else's. Anyway, let's see. It can be played as cleanly or... let me back up. Any furs who get the chance, give the game a play. It can be played as cleanly or as raunchily as you choose, with each player taking a role of a Kitsune struggling to earn their tails by tricking various not-nice people and occasionally teaching them valuable moral lessons. Sometimes this can be perfectly straightforward, like showing a lazy cop the error of his ways and getting a tail for it. Other times it can be more complicated, involving magical illusions, schemes, plots, tools, and the game-winning tale going to the fox who took incriminating photos of the ensuing Dragon Kitsune orgy in order to prove their cunning and ruthlessness. True story, I was in on that game. The same company also produces Bad Decisions, a game that can accurately be referred to as Cards Against Humanity Nightly News Edition. Guys who made it are pretty cool and always willing to teach someone the ropes. So GeekCon was pretty fun, and since it's multi-fandom and has great opportunities for furs who don't necessarily want to out themselves to go hang out under the guise of being perfectly respectable Whovians, anime nerds, or comic geeks. Howlingly yours, The Wolfy Man.
Oh.
P.S. I realize I shouldn't take the fuck it, I'm lesbian now comment too seriously. I thought you might find the story about my girlfriend's uncle coming on to her morbidly amusing, and including the question as to what it meant to be a humorous... I think I missed that one.
Yeah, I think it was probably out, but yeah, her creepy his female friend, her creepy uncle came on to her, and she was like, fuck it, I'm a lesbian. He included it, and we took it as sort of a straightforward thing, and we had a brief discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but, I think I knew it was a joke, but
yeah,
we, you know,
but we still gave it a legit discussion because yeah. That's kind of how we roll. We'll discuss pretty much anything you throw at us.
Yeah,
that sounds like a fun game, though.
Oh, so did you want to follow up on your question about U.S.'s aid to Israel? Why don't you read the next Tumblr, Safford?
All right. All right. I have been following the show for years and love you, what you do and how you have helped people with their issues. I have a question for the cast. I am planning on getting into the PC gaming market and need advice on what I should look for when it comes to a gaming rig. What brands are worth the cost? Better to custom build, brands to avoid, and what used rigs? I'm looking for a high range product between $800 to $1,500 range when it comes to cost. Thanks and keep up the great work.
For that price, you're probably going to have to do build because...
Oh, you'd want to do a build anyway.
Well, if you're not skilled and you don't know what you're doing, you can always go out and buy something like Alienware. I mean...
Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, if you want something... But there's a lot of review websites. I mean, I haven't built anything in about a year and a half. I don't know what's on the market right now.
Yeah. I haven't built a PC in a very long time myself, but you can go to places like, Reddit's PC Master Race subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And they will very helpfully give you a list of things that will get you started. A good question is, do you have a monitor? Because if you do, that gives you a lot more flexibility in what you can purchase.
If you need a monitor, that's going to take up a good bite of that budget. Yeah.
Or because if you've got both monitors, you want. You can do a pretty decent build that's able to play current, like, play GTA 5 on normal settings for probably around $600. You could probably spend $1,000. I mean, you're not, don't be a moron and get, like, what, the GTX 980 Titan X Black Extreme 5 Dick Edition.
What I've usually found to be a good buying guide is there'll be always be the newest and hottest out there. There's going to be the motherboards that are going to run you a fuck ton of money. However, if you go one generation back, the newest and greatest are always way overpriced. If you go back one generation or so, they're going to start cutting the prices a lot. They're going to be a lot more reasonable. So if you're not looking for screaming, you know, cutting edge, then you can come out of it a lot better. And that holds true for motherboards. That holds true for video cards. And depending on how patient you're going to be, if you're going to, you know, build your own, watch your sales on, like, Newegg on... Oh, there's a bunch of them. Newegg's the main one I watch. You can sometimes find the little bits and parts off Amazon. Fry's, depending on who's around you. Okay. I used to go to Tiger Direct, but they're kind of gone.
So
you're going to need a motherboard.
One of the places that PCMR will tell you to go is PCPartPicker.com. And this is a featured guide just on the front page. It's a... AMD FX6300 with a GTX 960 gaming PC, including a tower, and the entire build is $675. So, I'm not too familiar on the AMD class processors anymore. I used to run AMD back in the day, but being a Mac fag for the last 5 years, I'm not totally up on what's the hotness. So, like, this one's a $650 price range. FX6300, it's a 3.5 gigahertz 6-core processor, which is weird. Normally it's 2, 4, 8, but 6.
I think one of mine has 3.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. It's either, I think it's my work computer might have a 3-core processor.
And this is what's fucking crazy, right? So this particular build, 675.96, includes a 3.5 gigahertz 6-core processor. Mine is a 3.4 quad core that I got 5 years ago and still is really fucking fast. That processor is only $100. Has a motherboard, 8 gigs of RAM, which is $40 nowadays. RAM is so fucking cheap, it's amazing. It includes 120 gig solid state drive and a 1 terabyte internal drive, a GTX 960 2 gigabyte video card, which is very, very recent. And includes the tower case and the power supply. So the only thing you need to get would be laptop mouse, or keyboard mouse, and monitor. And if you've got that much money, you can get that shit. So go to PCPartPicker.com and figure your shit out.
Wow. Tiger Direct has a 39-inch 4K monitor for $300.
Jesus Christ. So what? You know what really sucks, though?
Mm.
So I recently updated my boot camp partition to Windows 10.
Oh,
okay. And just to try it out.
How's that working?
XSplit doesn't run correctly on it yet, so it's kind of caused some issues.
Mm-hmm. A lot of programs like that are probably not fully updated.
Yeah, it's not fully up to date yet, so like I had a situation where a stream went zombie on me. The stream was still going, but I couldn't change anything. So it, like, and then I had to force quit it, and so the entire hour 40-minute video just went got corrupted.
Mm. Was this when you were recording? Or?
Yeah. Oh. This was a live stream and a recording that I was doing locally, and it ate both the files.
Yeah.
You might not want to use cutting-edge OSs for doing things like that.
I've learned my lesson, but I'm sure it'll get up to date soon enough.
Yeah.
I had to ditch like 8 gigs of video that day.
Ooh.
Ugh. No, it was more than that. It was like 8 hours of video. Basically, for some reason, it stopped detecting my microphone, so I had multiple hour recording sessions where I was talking and doing video and there was no me. And like we were recording, we were doing some Heroes of the Storm with friends, and I was in a Skype call and I was talking to people and it recorded everybody's voice but mine. I don't even know how the fuck it did that.
Wow.
That was a bad day.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking multiple levels of complexity there, because you're not only talking about a Windows 10 brand new operating system install. You're using these programs that may or may not be fully updated, and it's a boot camp on your iMac.
Well, I mean, it's an Intel processor, so it's same architecture.
Yeah, but it just seems like there's a lot of complexity and there's a lot of points of failure.
Yeah,
on that.
What? But actually, going back to what sucks, in Windows 10 it has native game capture.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a AMD like 7000 series,
mm-hmm.
I have an AMD 6950. I'm literally like a half a generation too old to use one of the baseline in.
That's not something you can actually change on.
Oh no!
Is it?
No. There's no changing that.
It's literally take the iMac outside, shoot it, and buy a new one.
Yes. It's one of those.
I'm referencing one of the old Mac PC parody commercials,
yeah,
where he's like, "Oh, it's time for an upgrade," and Mac gets walked off the screen. You hear a gunshot. And then a new Mac comes out, and it's the same guy just wearing like a different colored T-shirt.
Yeah.
And PC's like, "Oh, where did Mac go?" He's like, "I'm the new Mac."
That's true. Unfortunately, I can't play anything that was made in the last year. Pretty much, it really bites. I mean, it's been a great machine for the last 5 years, but it's starting to show its age when it comes to games.
Mm-hmm. It's practically a brand new machine with how much of it has been replaced the last 2 years.
Well, yeah, on Apple's dime for the most part.
Yeah,
so,
which is incredible.
That was the, you know, it's had its main board replaced twice. Thanks, AppleCare.
Wow.
Had the monitor replaced at least once.
That's basically the whole computer.
Well, it's the screen.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So, PCPartPicker.com. Join the PC Master Race.
So we have one Tumblr left, and
I had to actually go hunt up the name of it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Go ahead.
Let me go ahead and read it, and then we can discuss. Very simple. What podcasts do you guys listen to? Well, I listen to this great furry show called Notcast. Anyway, go ahead. Think up what I'm saying.
I don't listen to many. I mean, I've listened to Welcome to Night Vale, a bunch of them. Not by any means all of them.
Mm.
I listened to that for a while and just kind of dropped it. It was like, oh, it's so weird and kooky. All right, you can only do that for so long.
And our friend Guardian turned me on one called Drabblecast, the Drabblecast.
I've heard of that.
Like Drabblecast.org. They tend to do, it's short fiction. Usually it's fairly creepy. So there's a lot of like zombie horror and, you know, what's the... Dude who wrote like Cthulhu, Lovecraftian. Yeah, so there's a fair amount of creepy and not necessarily a lot of like splatter gore on it, but it's a short story. They usually read like a story or two, an episode, and there's usually like 100 word. And on Twitter, they'll do like 140 character. You know,
short fiction,
where they have to kind of capture the whole enough to get the full concept of crossed.
Yeah.
And they do that weekly.
Cool.
I tend to only binge that when I'm on road trips, which means MFM is coming up and Sarah's going to hate me.
Tough shit.
He can deal with it. Oh.
Basically.
So I still listen to quite a few a couple of Kevin Smith podcasts, Smodcast occasionally. I'm a little behind on that. Tell 'em Steve Dave. In the fandom, I listen to For What It's Worth. I occasionally listen to, in writing topics, the Dead Robot Society, which is a fairly well-known writing podcast, like 3 or 4 different indie and self-pubbed authors. In the fandom, I also listen to Fangs and Fonts, which is the 4 folks from Canada, Voice, Ocean, Yanara, and Roland. And, like, Ocean has edited Inhuman Acts, which is coming out soon, and Voice edited Abandoned Places, which came out last year. So I've started working with some of those guys, and the others have had stories show up in various books too. So they're pretty experienced. They know what they're talking about. They also do some interviews at cons and stuff like that. So that's a really good one. That's the one that's currently active in the furry writing scene, if you want to check that out. Trying to think of any. I listed a podcast version of Real Time with Bill Maher, which is an HBO show, but they put the audio out as a free podcast. Cool. And since it's like, there's a couple of like visual jokes you don't get because there's an on-screen graphic, but for the most part, it's a roundtable discussion and it works on audio very well.
So. Yeah.
Those are the big ones I can think of right now anyway.
Okay, so for me, I listen to the Giant Bombcast, which is a weekly 3-hour-ish gaming podcast, giantbomb.com. I also listen to the co-optional podcast with Total Biscuit, Jesse Cox, and Dodger, which is another gaming podcast, but primarily PC-focused, but they have a really good slate of guests usually. Further gaming, Cox and Crendor in the Morning, which is a goofy... It is a show done in the style of a morning zoo radio show, complete with really stupid opening music. Yes, it has that, and they're about 30 minutes. They're goofy little things. For actual in-depth stuff on older titles, there's Retronauts. They're like, I may not necessarily agree with their politics when they bring it up, but the content they produce, the actual gaming information and the depth that they dig in is actually really good.
Are their politics retro? Go back to the 50s.
No, they're a bunch of San Francisco blue hairs.
Blue hairs?
Liberals, I guess.
Yeah.
You've turned conservative.
What?
By virtue of not moving, yes, apparently. Now, I also listen to ANN Cast and Anime World Order, their anime podcasts. I'm really behind on both of them because I listen to podcasts on the road. Obviously, when I'm at work, I'm recording things. I can't listen to podcasts and read stories.
It doesn't work well.
And when you're editing audio, you can't listen to podcasts because you have to listen to your audio. And so the only time I listen to podcasts generally is when I'm on the road to from my gym or while doing errands and while lifting weights occasionally. But if I'm doing treadmill or elliptical, I'm listening to music because I run faster.
Gotta go fast.
Yep. Blame It on Outer Space is a satirical show that makes fun of conspiracy theorists and the ilk, Bigfoot hunters and all that. It's pretty funny. The last show that I have that I actively listen to is the newest one that I've added called Surviving Creativity. This is a show that I've been pimping out to folks because I think it's cool because it's specifically for artistic creatives who are trying to make money. So it has Brad Guigar, Scott Kurtz, and Corey Cassoni. All of those dudes were in comics, Scott Kurtz being specifically the guy who did PvP, and now Table Titans, which are both very popular webcomics. With over a decade each of creative experience, 30-odd combined years of making it work, no matter the odds, these guys have seen their fair share. They've had some laughs, and it's time to share because it's one thing that's held true. They've been surviving creativity. Their most recent episode was addressing the orphan works bullshit that people were talking about on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And basically debunking it with an actual, you know, lawyer, copyright lawyer, going, no, that's retarded. That's not what it actually says at all.
Right.
There was the episode prior to that was the return of the return of Tokyo Pop and shitty, shitty contracts. And they talk about, you know, shit that young creatives need to avoid.
Right.
Kickstarter, Joss Whedon leaving Twitter, and there basically was like, he's probably going to be happier.
Yeah.
And yeah, they haven't released an episode since July 22nd, so I'm a little concerned because it's like July 3rd, July 22nd, June 29th, May 8th. Their schedule is not that fast. But I found it to be really enlightening. And they don't have a ton of followers on Twitter. They're like at Surviving Podcast or Surviving Pod. Surviving Creativity is the name of the show. And if you are an artist or writer or person who works in the public domain who does creative bullshit, give it a listen. because they focus on a lot more on the business side of being a creative right. person.
Hmm. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I'm also going to throw out, I just remembered, I haven't listened to them in a while because I listen to them on road trips, but there are three podcasts that are put out by a group called Escape Artists, Inc. Their main one is Escape Pod, which is short science fiction stories. And they also do Pseudopod, which is horror, and Podcastle, which is fantasy.
There are multiple podcasts called Podcastle, so you have to be careful.
Look for the one made by Escape Artists, Inc. I know at least one furry author, Renee Carter Hall, actually had a story on Podcastle.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool because that's pretty good exposure because they have a good sized audience there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I save those. You save Escape Pod episodes for when I'm on a road trip because they're all like an hour or less.
Yep. Mm. Short fiction. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I've been really productive lately when it comes to audio stuff. Like, what?
I'm sorry, you said really productive, and my brain went to.
I've been getting it all over people's ears. Well, I mean, I had the story that I put in the tail end episode last week mm-hmm. that hopefully people liked.
I know it's pretty good.
Some other stuff, and like, just. Doing like the free pony audiobook stuff in addition to like I finished my current audio project The Hero by Tyrion.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that guy.
He's just some dude.
Next up will be Trevor's Tricks.
Yep. And we're going to do it Shimonetta style and every incidence of sexual language is going to be accompanied by a
car horn.
It'll be the and then the fox moans, oh yeah, give me your whir, and stick it in my whir. And it's not the Waluigi, not the whir, it's the air horn. And then Waluigi time, yeah!
Wait, what? Went over my head there, did you?
Yeah.
I guess that's a Luigi from Mario reference? Or
Waluigi! He's evil Luigi. He's... Mario's evil little brother. It's a video game thing.
I played Super Mario Brothers 3.
Well, then you might be interested in Super Mario Maker. That's pretty cool.
I'm not buying a Wii. A Wii U, rather.
Fine.
Like, I have to blow the dust off of my Wii. Actually, I don't think this past year I had to blow the dust off my Wii for Fiesta to use it, because I think it was still in the bag from the previous Fiesta. So I just leave Smash Brothers in it, and oh my god.
Yeah, that
totally looks like it says Pepsi X Rape. What's it supposed to say?
AAPE.
AAPE. Huh.
What is AAPE?
I don't know. They have I a think monkey
that's
face.
The problem. AAPE isn't a word. So when a human looks at that, their brain looks for a word to read, and when the font is that bad... That word is rape.
Pepsi and rape. Two bad tastes that don't go well together.
Oh, jeez.
Because, I mean, God, why would you drink Pepsi if you can get dark pepper? God. Anyways.
Texas fag.
Anyways, yeah, so that kind of wraps things up, unless we had anything else.
So do we have a topic in mind? I'm going to be out next week. I'm going to be at MFM.
So I did talk, I need to confirm with them again, because I asked a couple weeks ago, but I did talk to Keo about coming in and being a guest the weekend of MFM, because we knew Shiva was going to be out. So
we can talk to one of those hate criminals.
Huh?
Drag queens.
Oh.
That'll be how we ask. So, Keo, how does it feel to be a hate criminal?
Tell us how much you hate transgendered people.
Please don't.
And then he'll get us all the hate.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No, we get enough hate. We have our quota already.
We really don't.
Yeah, amazingly not.
Yeah, we don't actually get
considering
hate mail.
Some of the things we say.
We talk a lot of hot shit, and we don't get hate mail. It's pretty nice.
You know, we say things like Jews did 9/11, and you know, get no.
You
hate
said that.
But you were thinking it.
You didn't see the pantomime Severin was doing in the background.
And I've noticed that, you know, you've arranged all of your sound dampening foam in the shape of swastikas. Don't think that, you know, didn't cross my
mind. I actually
had
to go and buy some extra. Thanks for noticing, though. Oh, God. All right. So we are Notcast on Twitter, Tumblr,
FA, Sofury, I think.
No, we don't have Sofury. I think we do have a Sofury account. We don't use it. We have a Weasel account we don't use. We have a Furfin account we barely use. We have a Patreon we you should totally use. So if you like the show and the stuff we produce and the fact that Fuzz is a horrible massage nerd.
I am not a massage nerd. Well, okay, I am because I go to Massage Envy and I get a massage every
You're
night.
A massage nerd. Anyways, yes. So we have a Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. You can drop us as little as a buck an episode, and the episodes go live the day we record them, pretty much.
More or less.
More or less. Generally, when I'm done, we're done here, I cut the episode together, do my voodoo, and put the file out for folks.
He's a magic fox.
It's like I do audio production or something.
I was going to look up and see.
We did have some new people this month, and once everything processes through, we'll have some new people to thank because we're our Patreon's doing all right.
And we appreciate it.
Let me
we
see who.
It helps us buy interfaces.
And interfaces. Also interfaces
that go into interfaces.
Yes. It also bought that chair you're sitting in, so be happy, couch.
Oh, crap. I love
it. I don't get the metal ass-killing chair.
Yep. That is now for whoever gets late, who is also a guest.
The ass-killer.
So what are you looking for?
I'm trying to log into our Patreon account on my iPad so that I can look and see. Come on. I'm hitting the submit button. It's not working.
Wi-Fi failure.
No, I think it's just this website's failing. It keeps trying to go back to my Patreon account.
So yes, Patreon, it's good. It helps us buy interfaces.
We'll give you a shout out next time because I didn't plan ahead here.
Plus, next time it'll be a new month and we'll have a list of people who actually donated.
Should probably do that the first episode of each month.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, say thank you very much to XYZ and this person who used their real name, and we're not going to say their real name because that could be weird.
We could probably use fairly generic first names.
Yes. And Bob.
Bob, you know you're at least one of the Bobs that donated.
Bob Fox.
But we got 22 patrons.
Bobbing on a cock.
Giving us $81.69 an episode. Yay!
Buy interfaces.
Are you serious?
The next one piece that we're going to look at buying?
Well, Panther and I need to sit down and do some testing on the compressors because it looks like we have a couple dead channels on those too. I mean, consider that most of this shit's pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we had stuff dying on both the mic preamp and stuff downstream.
Yeah.
It's just old. It wears out. And we use the hell out of it. So we will be replacing that. Because, y'all on Patreon are certainly helping us being able to do that in a very efficient manner.
Yes.
We definitely appreciate it. So, and you know what's great, guys? It is only 8:21 p.m.
Yeah, we started this week.
I can actually,
super early.
I gotta go home and bake a cake for my birthday this
weekend. Stop the recording. I can get the episode out and on the net for our patrons, and then I can play some Heroes of the Storm or maybe some Diablo 3.
There's a good chance you'll see me on one or the other when I get home.
Yep. So, on that note.
Good night.
And I just was able to log into the fracking Patreon site.
Oh, okay. Well, what are you looking for, Fuzz?
Oh, I was just going to see if anyone's patrons cleared, because it's been a while since we...
It only does it first of the month.
...read any. Well, have we done it since...
We read the first of this last month.
Oh, okay.
And next week will be a new month, and the patrons that cleared... We'll have a list of.
Okay, yeah. The last clear was August the 3rd, and I guess we probably covered that already.
So next weekend you guys can do a shout-out.
All right, and big balls.
Night, guys.